Election 2016.
Hello, I'm Roger Watterson. We go north for today's penultimate 2016 Manx Radio election debate to meet the five candidates seeking the two key seats for Ramsay and to discover and discuss their political views, priorities, policies and vision for the future of the town and for the Manx Nation over the next 5 years and beyond. There are 5,693 registered electors in Ramsay, and they'll go to the polls on Thursday to choose two of the five names on the ballot paper to represent them in the House of Keys for the next 5 years. The candidates are General Practitioner Alex Allinson, Driver and Director of Northern Fuels Nick Crowe, Chartered Accountant Laurie Cooper, Civil Servant John McDonough, and former MHK seeking re-election Leonard Singer. And they're all with me in the studio today, and we'll meet them shortly. But first, here's our intrepid reporter, John Moss. Today, he's wandering the roads and lanes of Royal Ramsay.
So to Ramsay, first amongst its peers, one of them currently under renovation, Royal Ramsay, the northern powerhouse. One of the larger constituencies at approaching an 8,000 population. The boundary changes haven't brought any changes to Ramsay. It still has two members. So, what of this town nestling in the shadow of the northern hills, boundaried by the northern plain, sliced into two by the mighty River Silby, which in effect geographically creates Ramsay North and Ramsay South? To the north and inland from the Murrach Park, the homes around the cottage hospital and the grove. At its northern boundary, that which was once the Grand Island Hotel and the start of the countryside fringed by the Bride Road. To the south and along the Prom, the area that was once ancient seaside cottages and was cleared away when the authorities of the day felt modern times required modern development. Unfortunately, that coincided with a slump in the island's fortunes. And the area, when it was redeveloped, was without a holistic view to bring continuity along the seafront. There are those who wonder what might have been if the old cottages had been retained and done up, what that would have done to the look of the place. But that's jobbing backwards. The town has its park with its attractions. An influential coffee chain has a presence there. There's the hotel in the park. There's a fine swimming pool and now a BMX facility. Regeneration has made a difference in the town's centre. The historic Milne Town is just inside its boundaries. This is becoming popular as the venue for events such as the Cycle Fest gathering. So Ramsay has much going for it, including a better climate. It is accepted that the hills which stand in the way of Ramsay and the prevailing southerlies tend to dispose of some of the rain and cloud and bless the town with sunshine when other parts of the island are having a rather miserable time of it. But there are still complaints that it is too detached from the thinking coming out of Douglas and the South. Is that true? Should more effort be made to create a Manx northern powerhouse in terms of office development and manufacture? Would it be desirable? Ramsay's the northern terminus of the Manx Electric Railway. Is it desirable? Is it possible to develop the line to better serve as a community artery south? The TT course swoops through the town before dashing off past the hairpin, the gooseneck at Owl, and hurtling up the mountain. Very much a force to be reckoned with, Ramsay, but is it as prosperous as it might be given a bit of va-va-voom? Round the table are those who may fancy they have some political va-va-voom. Let's find out, shall we?
Well, that was Ramsay, seen through the eyes of John Moss. And now it is time to hear from the candidates. Now, as is customary in these constituency programmes, we'll start by asking each candidate in alphabetical order to talk to us, uninterrupted, for 1.5 minutes on a topic of their choice. And if they go over the allotted time, I'll stop them and move on to the next. So let's meet our first guest today, and that's Alex Allinson.
Hello, my name is Dr. Alex Allinson. I'm an experienced doctor, and it has been my honour to be a GP in Ramsay for the past 15 years. What attracts me to live and work in Ramsay is its strong sense of community and solidarity. I work at our excellent cottage hospital and have enjoyed the experience of being chair of the island's GP group for the last 10 years, as well as president of the Isle of Man Medical Society and the island's BMA secretary. Being elected for 8 years as a Ramsay Town Commissioner gave me excellent experience of both local and national government. I have successfully managed to balance all these roles without missing a meeting and without sacrificing being a good father and husband. If I voted in as MHK for Ramsay this Thursday, it will be a great privilege and a challenge. This is a challenge I'm prepared for. If elected, I will put my heart and soul into representing the people of Ramsey and the island at a local, national and international level. I will continue to serve the people of the North as a GP, but will need to reduce my hours of the practice so I can successfully balance the two roles. I won't make any empty promises about the future, but will promise the people of Ramsey my honesty, commitment and integrity. I will remain visible and approachable in town. I will be your MHK, accountable to you.
Thank you. That was Alex Allenson. Now on to Nick Crow.
Hi, good evening. My name's Nick Crow. The island is facing harder times than we've previously encountered. Tough economic decisions have been routinely avoided, and the next government must need to grasp the nettle and identify those areas of economic uncertainty. Thereafter, act accordingly and speedily. I would freely admit I have little political experience. I would ask the voters whether those members who have represented their constituencies and claim to have many years of political experience have used their time in office wisely. Solving the financial difficulties facing the island using taxpayers' money carefully and prudently rewarding those with hard work and put into the system. Or like myself, you are constantly delusioned with political ineptitude, dodging issues and a fiddling while Rome burns mentality which seems to pervade much of local and central government. Two words, thrift and diligence, I feel have become sadly lacking in recent times. Reward seems to come swiftly for those doing a poor job or no job at all. I would like to see people rewarded for hard work. I would also like to make sure the pensionable age remains at 65 for men and for women. Let's not penalise people for their efforts. Thank you.
Right, from Nick Crow now, we go to Laurie Hooper. Get the name right this time, Laurie.
Thanks, Roger. I'm 29. I'm educated at Ramsey Grammar before going to university to complete both my undergrad and postgrad degrees. I live in Ramsey with my wife, Rachel. I'm a chartered accountant and I'm currently chairman of Ramsey Town Commissioners, having spent the last 2 years as lead member for finance and general purposes. I've served on the housing committee and I'm a member of the Lib Van Party. I have plenty of experience dealing with government at every level. We need change. The next 5, 10, 15 years are going to be challenging for the island, and we need a new approach from new people that doesn't keep on repeating the same mistakes of the past. I know I can't make big changes overnight, and I fully expect to be banging my head against some very stiff opposition. But I'm willing to do this because change will only come in small steps, and only if we work at it. I know I have the drive, energy, passion and enthusiasm to represent you and to stand up for Ramsey. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to people on the doorstep, and I've taken a lot away from these conversations, even managing to include some of people's ideas in my manifesto. I'll finish by paraphrasing something that was said at our requisition meeting on Wednesday. If you vote for the same people, you'll get the same results. Thanks for listening, and I hope I can count on your vote on Thursday.
Right, Laurie Hooper, thank you. Now on to John McDonough.
Good evening. Having lived in Ramsey for the last 37 years, I hope I can call myself a Ramsey man. After being through the grammar school, I left and worked for many years in Ramsey. I now live in work in Douglas, still live in Ramsey. I'm a civil servant, so I know how government works or doesn't work, as the case may be, varying in departments and different sections of those. I've really enjoyed meeting the people on the streets during the past few weeks, and they've given me some great points of information, and I've found out a lot about what's really bothering them. I would like to say that a vote for me would give you a say in all our national politics, and also with the local issues and the national issues, the things that people really matter. I would also like to say that having spent 4 years on the commissioners, both on the housing committee and as a representative on the Northern Community Partnership and the Traffic Management Liaison Committee, I understand what the local issues that really bother to people, and I promise to balance all the local issues and the national issues together, and I hope people will understand if I have to make choices that may not always be in favour of Ramsey, that they will be the right ones. A vote for me will be give you a voice in Tynwald. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you then, John. Thank you for that. That was John McDonough. And now, Leonard Singer.
Good evening, everyone. I hope that you will all have received my election manifesto and have read my views on the needs and priorities of Ramsey and the island for the next 5 years. There are many important and difficult decisions to make, not only growing the economy, but also solving the serious public sector pension crisis, truly balancing the books and replenishing reserves whilst continuing to provide an acceptable level of services. But this has to be done in a positive way, the government strictly following its priorities whilst being open with the people and open to scrutiny. It's absolutely necessary to understand where and why government has failed and how it needs to be changed. We need a government that itself understands we must have change. From my many years' experience in national and local government and in business, and constantly keeping in touch with residents, I understand the pressures facing our community and the need to create good and permanent jobs on the island. But in growing the economy, we have to reduce the emphasis of development being concentrated only on Douglas and the south. New businesses are being established in Jerby, but the private land scheduled for development in Ramsey needs to be released, as it is a real option to bring new business and jobs to the town. Voting for me means that you will have representing you someone who has much experience, who is approachable, someone who will listen to you, give you a voice, and who will use common sense and experience to help guide this island home of ours through the difficulties that we will undoubtedly face.
Right, thank you. That was Leonard Singer. And now we've heard from all five of the candidates for Ramsey. Now it's time for us to engage all of us in conversation and discussion about a number of issues that could be important, not just to the town of Ramsey, but to the island as a whole. And as I was going through your manifesto, Leonard, and I heard you say there one or two other sort of mildly critical comments of government. Now, you've been quite close to government, working in departments and so on, yet you say government has been disunited and in disarray. How did you justify that?
That's right. I mean, I'm a backbencher and I've been in departments, and when I was referring there, it was to the Council of Ministers, where the Council of Ministers has been very inward-looking over the last few years. We know they have had many arguments. We know that we've had ministers sacked. We've had ministers who should have been sacked, who weren't. And they then, as I say, became very inward looking. They were not in contact with the backbenchers, and they were certainly not in contact with the public. And that's and it's no wonder that the public were very upset at the way this government continued its 5 years. There needs to be, in the next government, there needs to be a strict policy decisions that everyone follows, that ministers don't do their own thing. This is what's been happening, the silo mentality. We need the government in the future, for the next 5 years, to decide on what are its main priorities, and the ministers to follow those priorities, whatever their departments. And unless that happens, and they then keep in contact with the backbenchers and with the public, it's going to fail.
Alex Allenson, do you agree with that? Do you think that the last government has failed?
No, I don't think it has, actually. I think there have been some failures, but the government as a whole has tried to do its best. I mean, what you're talking about, Leonard, really, it goes along with the Lord Lisvain report that was quite strong that a new government should have a decent programme for government at the outset.
Yep, correct.
And I think that's perhaps where this government has failed, that from the outset it didn't state its plans for the next 5 years and stick to those plans. We've seen constant changing backwards and forwards. And that worries me, and I think it worries the public as well, because what we've had is quite a few knee-jerk reactions to funding problems that actually haven't been properly thought out and certainly haven't been properly communicated with the people.
Now, as far as the plans are concerned, as far as having a cabinet is concerned, having a government that brings forward a plan, this of course stems from the election of the chief minister, doesn't it, Nick? How are you going to go about that then? How would you, if you agree with what your two colleagues have said, how would you go about bringing some coordination into the policies of government? Because the chief minister doesn't really have a lot of clout to do that, does he?
Well, there's a couple of things. Firstly, Leonard, you did start in some of your manifestos by three negative points. I think one of them was said your government's failed you. Was that one? Was that right? It was one of them. But don't forget, you've been part of that government.
No, I have not been part of the government. I've been a member of Parliament. The government, if you talk about the government, you mean the Council of Ministers. That is the government.
Yeah, well, I've been a member of it. You've been part of the whole system. You know, you started off with three negative quotes, and now everybody that reads it thinks, well, hang on. He was part of that.
Well, I'm just explaining.
Okay, well, look,
I'm not part of it, and the way that it works.
What are you part of? Maybe not part of government.
No, not part of government. part of the Parliament, and the way that it has worked has been that when items
are...
You may have really thought wrong.
Can I jump in? Nick, we get the point. I mean, we're talking about the government and the Parliament. They're different animals here. They're not the same animal. But, Nick, I ask you the question is, if you agree that the last government, there's been problems with getting policy together and getting coordination and departments working together, which you have said in your own manifesto, what would you do about it?
That's what I mean. People... It always seem to be, you have 24 people trying to make a decision. Everybody seems to be in fighting all the time. Nobody can, even if it's the best interest of the island, even if you personally don't agree with it, you've got to go along with it. You know, it's the island you've got to think about, not your personal ambition, what you want to achieve. If you think somebody might have a better idea, whatever, but we've got to work as one.
Do you agree or not agree with collective responsibility then?
No, I don't agree with it, no.
Right, what would you say, Laurie?
Well, on the issues that they had in the last government surrounding the lack of kind of joined up thinking and joined up policy making actually do stem from the funding problem, from the budgets, the way that they're set. And that, you know, for the whole year ahead, the government sets out its priorities by presenting this budget in February to Tynwald and saying, do you approve of the budget as a whole? And members of Tynwald are asked to vote on that yes or no, basically. So there isn't really any scope for debate around specific policy issues. There is scope for debate on, are we going to fund everything or are we going to fund nothing? And that is part of the problem. And so when you have people saying, well, I wasn't part of government and I didn't support things, you say, well, how did you vote on the budget? Did you support when they removed the personal allowance? Or did you support when they were going to cut the TV license? Licensing for over 75s, and the answer to those questions in a lot of instances is yes, because a lot of these budgets sail through Tynwald without any real scrutiny, without any real opposition.
But isn't that the case that you can't debate individual items and vote on individual items, you vote on it as a package or not at all?
That's exactly what I was just saying, is you have to take it or leave it. Mm. And I think what the problem that you have is that they're essentially forced through by collective responsibility, where Coleman is turning around and saying, well, this is the package, take it or leave it. And I think there's a lot of people within Tynwald who are afraid to stand up and say, well, no, actually, we should leave it and you should come back and try again. And I think a programme for government set out at the start of the term by the Chief Minister, which people could then vote on to pick the Chief Minister they want, would actually go some way to solving that problem. Because if you have a programme of government that's set out at the start of the 5 years, then everything the government is doing should be tied into that programme for government. And so you should never really come up with a situation where government is proposing things that members of Tynwald aren't already aware of and either don't already support or already have a position on.
But what we're talking about here up to now is the changing from the start of this next House of Keys, if you like, to changing the system. That's not going to be all that easy, is it?
No, but like as I just said, if you get a programme for government set out at the start, so before the Chief Minister is elected, whoever puts themselves in the hat to be a candidate should turn around and say, well, this is my programme for the next 5 years, this is what I want to achieve, these are my priorities. And then from that, they can build a coalition around themselves of MHKs who think, actually, I agree with those priorities, this is where I see the government going. And then from that point onwards, you can then form policy that kind of falls underneath that programme for government that will help support it and drive it forwards. Yeah. We don't have that now. We don't have that kind of consensus government.
I think the island is ready for change. I mean, we've got a lot of existing MHKs standing down. We will get change in this next Parliament.
To what, though?
And it's seizing that. Sorry?
To what, though?
To what? A change in the attitude of government, a change in the way government is run, and a change in the way that government is accountable to the people.
What would you say, John McDonnell, then? You've heard all your colleagues now around the table. Where do you fit into this picture?
I don't agree with collective responsibility at all. It's been said anyone who puts themselves up for Chief Minister should put their case and their policies to the other 23 MHKs so that they can and see which person carries the most way and has the most backing.
But collective responsibility is an ongoing process. It's on the work of government as it goes through the period of the Parliament, not just at the start with the Chief Minister. I mean, when you say you don't agree with collective responsibility, you think that they should have a free vote on all the issues?
Well, I think you should set out your main priorities and the way you want the government to go, the way you want the policies to go at the start, and see who gets the majority out of the 24.
I don't think that the government would actually work well if you didn't have collective responsibility. Because if you can't keep changing your policy all the time. I know the government, hopefully, things will change in the future. I think the whole budgeting aspect of government needs to be changed. But as the way it is now, with the Council of Ministers, that they do have a right to leave collective responsibility if it's on a predetermined position, if it's on a constituency matter or a matter of conscience. Mm. So that, and if somebody doesn't agree with the policies of the Council of Ministers, and they really will not support it, then they have to resign.
But most people would say that the Council of Ministers is not democratically accountable to the rest of government and to the people of the Isle of Man in general.
And actually taking that a step further, you're saying the government couldn't function without collective responsibility. Well, there's only 24 MHKs. If you can't convince a majority of 24 exactly. that you're doing the right thing, are you doing the right thing?
Not as easy as it sounds.
No.
Well, let's just move on now, because there are a number of other topics that have appeared in your manifestos. One of yours, Alex, was quite interesting. You supported immigration into the island. On what terms?
In terms of the island needs certain skills, needs certain talents, and needs those from wherever they can get them. Now, I'm keen on growing our own homegrown talent, and the work that's been done at the Isle of Man College, which now has university status, is excellent, but we're still going to need to import skills from people. And I think, you know, research has shown that immigration into an area brings with it prosperity, jobs and employment. It's not a drain on us as a small island. And actually, I think the Isle of Man could manage to grow its population to a degree. I think that has to be very, very careful, though, because before you start growing the population, you need to make sure that the infrastructure we have at the moment is sufficient for local people. But particularly as we move into seizing the opportunities that may come about from Brexit, as we look at getting new technologies and new companies on the island to grow our economy, as well as having startup companies and nurturing the companies we've got here, we will need people with skills coming in. And I think immigration from wherever is always a bonus and a benefit to what we have here, which is actually becoming very much more a cosmopolitan and vibrant society.
So what terms would this happen then? Have an open door to everybody and anyone?
No. I actually think that the work permit structure has worked remarkably well in the past. There has been a much more flexibility recently and relaxation for key areas, and I'd like to see that continue.
But you have said also that you'd like to recruit more GPs. I think you said in Ramsey that each GP has 1,800 patients to
support. The average across the island is 1,800 patients.
So if you bring more people in without improving that sort of facility, you're going to have problems, aren't you?
Exactly, which is why in my manifesto I've also talked about investment in primary care as being essential for the island. Primary care does 90% of the work of the NHS for less than 10% of the budget. If you concentrate constantly on secondary care and nobles, which is extremely expensive medicine, without relying on preventative care and patient education, you're running a risk of going seriously over budget.
Right, Nick Crowe, do you agree in increasing the population even further?
Yes and no. I think one of the things we need to do is try to stop people leaving the island. You know, we've got so many people leaving now. I know lots of my friends of friends that are leaving, young people such as a friend of mine next door neighbour. He's 24 years old, he got a really decent job down the south, the island. But he just come back one weekend and he says, you know, I don't think I'm ever going to be a homeowner here. That's what his idea was, you know, he says, I'm never going to achieve what I want to achieve. So off he goes. He's in Germany now, which has got a real good job at Microsoft. But I don't think we'll ever entice him back, you know. And yet, I agree with the doctor when he says, you know, we need to get people to come to the island, to study here, and then stay here, you know, with their skills.
So what is your reaction then, Laurie Hooper, if you're encouraging people to come here for the skills that we need, yet with them come a large family that need educating and all the other infrastructure facilities?
Well, I think it's like you've touched on already. Well, the Isle of Man does need immigration to bring skilled workers here. You do also need to make sure that the infrastructure is there to support that, and it's more than just GP services. It's dentists, it's roads, it's water provision, it's electricity, it's everything that backs up, you know, what with the island as it is. And I think just touching on something on what Nick was just saying, you know, we do need to make sure that the support is there for islanders, as well as encouraging people to come here and set businesses up. We need to make sure the same support is there for people that are already here, right, that want to set up businesses.
Well that's on a sort of wish list, isn't it? How would you do it?
Well, no, they already have the money there. They've already got this 50 million incentive fund. I don't know, but it's a good start at least. But they need to make sure that that money doesn't simply go to just new business coming in from off island. They need to make sure that money is also allocated to people that are already here, that already have the ideas and the skills, to make sure they've got that support. And also, when you're talking about encouraging people to stay, we need to be encouraging our graduates to come back, which means we need to make sure there are opportunities here for young people. We need to make sure there are opportunities here for people that don't want to go to university. So encouraging apprenticeships and more closely working partnerships with the business sector on the island to make sure that there are jobs and training opportunities available for people, so they don't have to go away to the UK.
Are we going about it the right way at the moment?
I think they've made some good inroads. They've started the process over here, and they're starting to start to develop these ideas a little bit more, but it is very slow going. And I think that they do need to put pressure on this, put the pedal down, really.
What's your reaction, John McDonald?
Well, certainly regarding the work permit system, it works up to a point. But if you're an employer and you want the best person for the job, you don't want to be limited to a small pool if the people on the island haven't got the skills. So by bringing more people in, to give the people of the island opportunity to learn those skills and build up, is a must.
Now, Leonard Singer, you've had some experience with the DED in this particular issue. Do we accept what all other people here tonight are saying?
I think the connotation of the word immigration has got to be put into context as well. When we're talking about immigration, we're talking about bringing in people for new jobs, skilled people, because new businesses, we're attracting new businesses to the island, then we need the skills. And these new businesses, when they come in, they may bring people in with them, but they also employ people on the island. And the work permit system, as you say, has been relaxed in certain instances when we have a shortage of those skills. But we need more people. Nick is quite right. There's an outflow of people from the island just now, and we do need to increase our population. Otherwise, the economy will become stagnant.
So you need to address why those people are leaving, and a lot of the reason for that is low wages and high property prices over here, which are driving normal working people away.
There are reasons. There was a reason that I hear, but we need still, so even more, we need to bring new people in, because if we bring
you
new
people,
you
need to look after your own population that's here at the moment, than replacing them by other people. And that's what Nick's saying, that there is a lack of that. People are really struggling at the moment.
People get trapped as well. Once they start rent, once they leave home, they start in a private rent of minimum £8,000 to £1,000.
If they're never going to be able to manage to save for a deposit on their own house, and this is what people all over the island are saying. And yet, the focus of the DED seems to be just bringing people from across in, rather than actually looking after existing businesses here and putting them first.
We're telling you what we're hearing on the doorstep, rather than what you think is right. You're blaming now the DED. The DED does encourage business on this island. They do give grants to government on this, to companies on this island, and it's very successful. So, and if you're doing that, then you're going to bring new people in, and people are going to earn more, etc., etc. I do know what you're saying, that house prices on this island are vastly overinflated, and people expect to get a lot more for the houses than they're actually worth.
But are they getting it at the moment?
Well, no, that's why when you go around the street, you see houses with three or four different estate agents' notices, because they're not getting that sort of money. But it's very difficult if people won't drop the prices to a true figure. And it's very difficult for people and young people, because not only they have difficulties, it's the banks that are and totally unsupportive at the moment, the big banks. People can't get mortgages, there are one or two new retail banks interested in coming to the island, but the big five, as we call them, are totally uninterested at the moment in supporting anybody who wants to borrow money or who even wants to open an account.
But in terms of housing, I mean, the government's priority should be regulating housing development, providing public sector housing, encouraging home ownership, and also controlling rents. And particularly in terms of encouraging home ownership, especially for first-time buyers, and controlling rents, that hasn't happened. And we know that in terms of the commissioners, in that more and more of the first-time buyers' houses are actually unsellable to the people that they're meant to be reaching.
Well, look at Ramsey Town commissioners. They ended up, the first-time buyers, they were that much out of reach for general first-time buyers, Ramsey Town Commission had bought them up for housing stock.
It's not just that the houses are out of reach, it's that the first-time buyer scheme itself isn't sufficient to enable people to get onto the...
£211,000 for a first-time buyer's house.
And you've got to think more imaginatively in terms of government helping people. And what one of the ideas that certainly Laurie came up with is underwriting the deposits for people who want to start on the housing ladder, not just for first-time buyers, but also for people who want to move on from social housing.
Or people that want to renovate their existing homes, because you've already identified that access to finance is one of the biggest problems that we have. And the last government hasn't really addressed that, hasn't done anything to try and encourage the banks to sort of speed up their lending, hasn't done a lot to encourage the banks to invest in local business. And so what we end up with is businesses that can't open bank accounts, businesses that can't get finance, you've got individuals that can't get on the housing ladder because they can't get a mortgage because they can't save for the deposit. And it all boils down to that the government really needs to take a step in and actually step into these banks.
We'd like to have the last word on this subject before we go to the break from John McDonough.
I'd just like to say, regarding property prices, and as you say, there's so many vacant properties around the island. The same goes for the commercial property. Landlords will not lower the rents to have someone in the property generating a small income and then regenerating the towns, because there's more reason to go to the town.
Well, Ramsey is a class. Yeah. You know, the ex-post office, all them units around there, that out of reach for the average person.
Absolutely, if the landlords would drop low their price and get people
in. Well, gentlemen, it's now time for a short commercial break. We'll be back with more from Ramsey in 3 minutes.
Manx Radio's 2016 election coverage.
This is the 11th of the 12 Manx Radio's 2016 election debates, and it features the town constituency of Ramsey and the five candidates pitching for its two key seats. They are Leonard Singer, John McDonough, Laurie Hooper, Nick Crowe and Alex Allenson. Well, gentlemen, on all of these programmes and nearly all the manifestos I've read, everybody is focusing and says the same thing, and that is the way for the Isle of Man to sort out its financial issues is to grow the economy. Few actually say how they think we should do that. Do you have any views on that, Laurie Hooper?
Well, I'll start by saying it's not government's job to grow the economy. Government does not create wealth, and anyone that tells you that it does is barking up the wrong tree. Government's job is to create the right environment to let private business, private entrepreneurs create jobs, create wealth, and grow the island's economy. That's step one. So when you're talking about what are government going to do to grow the economy, well, it's more about them making sure that there are training opportunities available on Ireland, making sure that we have a grant system in place, making sure that there's support there, like John mentioned earlier, lowering commercial rents, making sure government is taking action on these problems. But actually, as far as it comes to generating the jobs themselves, that really has to come from the private sector. And to be honest, the private sector does an absolutely fantastic job of marketing the island and going out there and getting into these niche markets and growing the economy. We have great businesses on the island that really just do excel at that.
Yeah, I mean, I'd agree with that. The government should facilitate change, not necessarily lead it, because it's not very good at doing that. I mean, up in Ramsey, David Doricott and his wife have started the Mountain View Innovation Centre in the old film studios, which gives startup IT companies an ideal base for networking, for developing their ideas at very, very low rents. And this is without any government subsidies, without any government support. And what they're doing is fantastic for the island in terms of the IT sector, which is a sector which apparently is very low in terms of skills on around here.
Mm-hmm. Well, growing the economy in itself, of course, there's different aspects of the economy, isn't it, Leonard? When we hear that there's been a 4 or 5% economic growth, and then you look and you see that online gambling's had a 10 or 15%. That means that somewhere at the other end of the balance, some of the smaller businesses are actually suffering.
That's absolutely true. If you have it look at a graph going up and then going down, there are certain sectors of the economy which are growing, due to the aircraft register, shipping register, some of the finance sector. And when on the other side, you get the retail sector, that's not going to the actual construction sector. They are reducing, and I think government has to be looking though at supporting all these sectors if we want to grow the economy. You're right. I think I think Alex, you just mentioned about IT. There is a world shortage of IT people, and the government has made attempts to go out and attract IT people to the island. They're making grants available to companies to attract IT people to come to the island. We've also now got the new IT school, which is opening. We're going to produce our own people, and we've got 23 new IT apprenticeships that are with companies who are where the students are going to be working for the company and going to the college at the same time. And this is just happening as well with the accountants as well. There's going to be new apprenticeships there. Apprenticeships are very, very important in the engineering as well. We've got the engineering school working closely with the aerospace companies. And,
okay, but the problem with growing the economy is that the benefits of that growth have to be shared equally amongst the population. And I think, again, that's one of the problems in the last 5 to 10 years, is that those benefits and that money has not been shared out equally, which is why the people we talk to are struggling.
Yeah. So you're talking about the American trickle-down economics. It's not trickling, is that what you're saying?
Trickle-down economics never works at all. But what I certainly have seen is growing inequalities on the Isle of Man, which really didn't used to exist to this extent. And that's borne out by people's wages not increasing and people's jobs going.
Well, actually, if you want to expand that point a little bit, if you're talking about growing the economy as a way of getting us out of our financial difficulties, that is nonsense, quite frankly. Growing the economy has to be one arm of getting us out of our difficulties. Yeah. But it is, like Alex has just said, it's about making sure that the wealth that we have is distributed more equally. It's about making sure that government actually is doing more to streamline itself, to slim itself down, to make sure the money that it's collecting is being collected as efficiently as possible. And then when it's being spent, to make sure it's being spent in the right places and targeted at the right people. So growing the economy is only one arm. Well, the things that we need to do.
We all agree with that. You know, but you're asking me about what would the Department of Economic doing?
And again, it's not all about IT. I mean, none of the requisition meetings I've been to, nobody's talked about farming. And yet, particularly in Ramsey, we've got a big rural area there. Lots of people are involved in farming. And the Ramsey Grammar School is the only place that I know that actually rear its own produce and sell its own meat.
I mean, you do make it like apprentices far more attractive for both the apprentice and the employer. Mm. You know, one time they were only getting a mere pittance. So we need to make it, you know, so the employer, you know, it's more in his interest and the employer's interest.
That's what's happening. That's what's happening now.
So let's, you know, but not just in IT. We need engineering skills.
Just mentioned that.
You know, we left it reliant on the financial sector. And
over reliant.
And as soon as the bombshell come, the VAT bombshell come, we found ourselves with practically no economy really as such, or very little.
Well, talking about economy and the VAT, then on your manifesto, Nigel, you're talking about revisiting the VAT agreement. Now, that's a difficult task. What do you hope to get out of that?
Well, when you think about it, the Isle of Man government was receiving hundreds and hundreds of millions from the UK government for nothing really. They knew they were doing wrong for all them years. And I think when Europe blew the whistle on them, they were in that much of a pressure to get down there to sign any form of agreement just to put it to bed, just to try and put it to sleep. I think we need to get some sort of financial stability back in there. I think we should go down and try and renegotiate some, even a small percentage, to try and get some stability back in.
Isn't that what's just done?
There has been a recent review. Yeah. I mean, if you go back to what you were saying, the government knew 10 years ago, because this was part of a discussion, the government knew that the agreement they had with the UK government was much better than they were actually entitled to.
So when you say government, are you talking about Tim Walz or just the government?
What did I say I meant by government before?
You were vacillating a bit as to whether you were part of government or not.
I was not. Okay. The agreement that was made was far too good. They didn't put the money aside, so suddenly the UK government realised we're paying them too much and they hit us for £200 million. And the money wasn't there. There was a recent review over the last, I think, 12, 18 months, and that actually has resulted in a £20 million refund to the Isle of Man because we hadn't been paid enough. But one of the big problems coming up now, which we've got to face, is that there's talk of the UK government reducing VAT from 20% down to 15%.
Yeah, well,
if that happens, that's £80 million.
That
now, whether there's any plans on the shelves, you know, in the Cabinet Office, as what happens if, I have no idea. But it's going to be a big blow if that happens.
There's quite a few ifs there.
Yeah, but again, we need to make sure that government is more proactive.
Very aggressive.
John McDonough, would you be prepared to see a new government go at this stage where the UK government's economy is probably might be heading for recession, and as Len has just said, maybe we might find our VAT receipts dropping off anyway. Are you prepared to go and confront them and negotiate with them, bearing in mind that this is an agreement that to be cancelled by both parties at really short notice?
Certainly we should ideally have a representative at Westminster. Hopefully we can't take part in that to observe, so that we get a heads up straight away. We get forewarned of anything that's likely to happen. On the flip side of that, as I say, following Brexit and whatever may come out of that, we should be looking at what we can do to look after our own state of affairs, and what other channels we can look at.
Are you talking about having getting rid of VAT and having our own tax to replace it?
No, not at all. But just looking outside, because when the UK triggers Article 50 and does the withdrawal from the EU, we don't know which way that's going to go. Well, they don't yet either. But we don't. While that's waiting to happen, we may have to renegotiate Protocol 3, etc. We should be looking outside, because we've never been part of the EU. So we should be speaking to all the business people, all the international law people on the island, to see what other options are out there, rather than wait to see what happens with the UK.
Well, as far as internally is concerned, I mean, these are external influences on the Isle of Man, but internally we've still got to go through balancing the books. Leonard has been quite critical about the way the books have been balanced in the past. But there's so many different forms of support and grant that still go out to the various individuals. There is a move that we should means test a lot more before we do all these benefits. Now, you see people who need benefits, Alex. Do you think means testing is a better way to do it, more aggressive means testing?
I personally am far more in favour of universal benefits, because they've been shown to be far fairer and far cheaper to actually implement. However, with budget cuts, we do need to think more about means testing. What we've been doing particularly at the Ramsgate Commissioners is looking at things like housing and looking at the public sector housing and how we can make sure that goes to the right people on the right incomes. And so bringing in quite strict eligibility criteria, both for public sector housing in general, but also thankfully now for sheltered accommodation, to make sure that those benefits are given to the people who really need them. And I think we need to look at this far more in terms of the other services the government provides.
You say not going by the traditional points on the list because of the time you've been on it, but each time it sets the case on its individual right?
It's not just points on the list. It's making sure that people fit the eligibility criteria, make sure that the housing goes to the right people, and also bring in sets tenancies as well, so that those people who benefit from subsidised housing are reassessed on a regular basis, whether that be 5 years, so that if their circumstances change, that they're given then the assistance to move on to private sector housing.
Well, they already do have five-year tenancies now. They're already in force for all new tenants. But just picking up on what you're saying there, means testing, it isn't about cuts. It should never be about cuts. It should be about making sure the money that you have and the resources that you have is targeted at the people that need it the most. And it doesn't have to be bureaucratic. It doesn't have to be complicated. We're all required by law to file a tax return every single year. All they need to do is ask a few more questions on that and then actually share that information within government. It can be as simple as government saying, well, actually, this is the income you have, these are your expenditure, like you would when you go for a mortgage. The bank asks you all sorts of questions. Government could then turn around and say, well, actually, you may be entitled to these benefits that you don't even know about. Government can then be more proactive in making sure people get the help that they need.
But that is a basic principle now, really, isn't it? People should be informed of what they're entitled to.
Government don't go out of their way to inform you what you're entitled to. In fact, they make it difficult for you to get
all
the benefits.
Talking to people, for instance, with children with special needs or disabled people, to navigate around the minefield of benefits, I mean, I find it difficult going through the government websites. There is nobody there when you've had an accident or you've had a child who has a disability who will sit down with you and say what you're able to claim, what help and assistance is there.
There used to be. Well, I don't know. I've had first-hand experience of this, because after I had my accident, I was in hospital one way or another for about a year, and then when I come out, obviously I was entitled to some sort of benefits. Now, I was means-tested myself. Now, you know, but it is wide open to abuse. I can remember when the guy come round in my particular instance, and I had about 10, 12 pins hanging out of my leg, and he asked me, could I actually go to the kitchen to make a sandwich and a cup of tea? Well, yeah, I actually got up and went out. He said, can I see you out this?
Force yourself, yeah.
Yeah. But if I was to sat there and just put my leg up on the buffet, he would have just ticked all the right boxes. You know, so it is open to abuse. I don't, you know, I can see that firsthand, you know. But, you know, if my other motto, if you've got nothing to hide, you know, you've got nothing, you know, there's nothing to, you know, nothing to lose, you know.
Now, could we move on to another subject, which is on your manifesto, John McDonough? You're the only person who've actually raised this subject, and that is the issue of restorative justice and punishments hanging out. You say you don't think that all sorts of the systems that we do at the moment, and you think we should go back to the days of the prisoners' working parties doing good works around the towns.
Well, not necessarily prisoners' working parties, but rather than jailing people, which obviously there's people who are going to be a threat to society that need to be separated from society, but people who have done minor injustices that previously have been locked away at great expense to the taxpayer, and then they come out then with a prison sentence, which scars them for life as far as getting a job's concerned. If they could be encouraged to put something back into the community.
I know some people, they'd rather go to jail than do community service. Yeah.
But, you know...
ironically.
Yeah. But, you know, or even, like, weekend, locked up for the weekend so you could still hold a job, absolutely. So you don't lose your job. Anything like that. Because just jailing someone for a minor offence, it costs money. It can put their lifestyle, obviously, their career in jeopardy. And it does no one any good. Whereas if they can be encouraged to see the wrong that they've done and to go some way to rectify it or do some recompense rather than being banged up in a cell, which does no one any good.
Both the police train of thought and the judicial system, they need to be modernising a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. The whole sentencing system needs overhaul.
John says that is right. It's a very, very important point, this, that you don't want people to have criminal records.
No.
For some minor offence. I mean, this is the same with cannabis, isn't it? Decriminalising the possession of cannabis in small quantities, but hitting the people who are distributing.
Now, Lennon, I'm going to have to interrupt you there because we're right at the end of the programme, that leaves me to go round the table at a fairly great speed. Just time to ask all of you to tell us in a few words, taking very few seconds, why the citizens of Ramsey should vote for you on Thursday. Now, again, alphabetically, but this time in reverse order, starting with Lennon Singer.
Thank you. Well, if you, like me, are concerned that for the next 5 years there are changes that are needed, and particularly concerned that the previous government did fail you and broke its promises to you, I hope you'll support me again, because this is a very crucial time in the island's history, and we do need change. There will be many new members, and my experience can help bring continuity and stability to the House of Keys, whilst I continue to speak on behalf of you and on behalf of our town. Your vote is your choice.
Right,
on Thursday, please use one of your
votes. Thanks, I have to interrupt you. John McDonough, please.
Yes, I would like to say that I promise to work for the people, give them a say in all the local and the national politics, and work damn hard for them.
Right, Laurie Cooper.
You've heard from all the candidates over the last hour, and I hope that I've managed to convince you that I'm the best of us. I know I've got the drive, energy, passion and enthusiasm to represent you and stand up for Ramsey. I'll work hard, and I'm not afraid to deal with the difficult issues. When it comes down to it, the power to choose how you want your next government to act and the direction it will take rests with you. No matter who you vote for, please use your vote on Thursday. You know what, scratch that, vote Hooper on Thursday.
Right, thank you. From Laurie Hooper to Nick Crowe.
Right, well, as the only Manx man amongst us, I think I know what makes us tick. I think people feel out of touch with this government. Lots of people struggling in the island with general finances and fuel poverty. You know, I feel that I can make the difference. I think people of Ramsey have been underrepresented in the town for the last 20 years. You know, I'm passionate about building the marina in Ramsey to try and get this town going. Passionate about this beautiful island we have. I've not got the answers, but I want to build a team that has. Thank you.
Thank you. And Alex Allenson.
Yes, I'd like people to vote for me, and I'll promise the people of Ramsey my honesty, commitment and integrity and accountability.
Thank you. That was Alex Allenson, who was the last to speak. And with his words, we bring to a close this programme in which we featured the Keys candidates for Ramsey. And one of the Keys candidates, of course, Laurie Hooper, is also a member of the Liberal Vannin Party. Beth Espy will be here at the same time tomorrow with the last in the series of the 2016 election debates, this time featuring the Russian constituency. I'm Roger Watterson. Goodbye.